are in the penultimate weekend of the series of Ephesians that we've been going on to. And if you've been here from the start, it's been a journey. I hope that you've taken time to actually read the book of Ephesians. And it really has been something that we've gone through, where Paul started in worship. And then he spoke about a shift, the change in our identity. Remember that metamorphosis that went from someone that was living or dead and is now alive, and there was a change. And in that, we started speaking about unity in the church. And once we established that, we spoke about how do we live our life out as new beings in our identity with Christ. And we've spoken last week about families, the dynamic between families. And this morning, we even had a moment of prayer where we spoke about the relationship about those who serve within this church. And now we get in towards the end of here. We get in towards the end, and Paul leaves a couple of things. And the first thing he leaves us with is this armor of God. And that's what I'm going to spend this morning speaking about, the armor of God. And I want to tell you that this is something that's going to be deeply spiritual this morning. In the preparation, the 2 weeks of prep around this sermon, I've just been praying into this morning's service that when we speak about the spiritual warfare that we face, that we would come out of this morning standing firm in the victory that's already been won. All right. So let us pray. Father God, I thank you that we can stand here this morning in your victory. Lord, I pray this morning that your word would be spoken. Lord, I pray that hearts will be opened here this morning to hear your word. I pray that ears will be opened to hear your word. I pray eyes will be opened to even see in the spirit. Lord, this morning I pray that where there may be wrestle, people would be able to stand firm in the midst of a battle. Lord, I pray that there would be an equipping, and Lord, I pray that you would move in the spirit for us to declare that it is one, Lord, and we can stand here in the peace that only you can give. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so come with me to Ephesians 6, and we're going to pick up from verses 10. All right, we'll pick up here from, verses 10. The whole armor of God is the part that we're going to pick up. We're going to go from 10 to 18. So it says here, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all prevalence, making supplication for all the saints." Jesus, bless this word this morning. So we're speaking about this battle, and I need to frame this battle, right? Because I think sometimes as Christians, no matter where you are, it feels as though that there's always something to fight, right? Anyone feel as though that they've been in a battle recently? Just show of hands. Let's get engagement here. Show of hands. Anyone been in a battle? Right? I want to start off with a story. So, grade 11, you go to, in where I went to school, you went to grade 11 camp. And grade 11 camp, there was someone that had generously donated this bush school to our school. And you go over there, and there's rivers and there's canyons, and it's just a time where you go away for a week as the grade 11s, and you do all these things that are, you spend time in the bush, and it's a great time. It's like you don't bath, you're intense. It is intense. You make your own food. It's almost like a rite of passage in many ways. But on the first day, what they do is there's something where they settle the tension of these boys. It was all boys. I went to an all boys school. And obviously, we pumped up with testosterone. And what they want to do is they want to get rid of some of that testosterone to start. So what they do is they line us up and they match us in size and in strength. These guys gauge it. And what they do is they make you stand on a pole, and below that pole is a river, right? And I got matched up against this fellow called Druan van der Merwe. And Druan van der Merwe was on that side of the pole, and they put me in the middle of the pole. So they've placed me in this pole, on this pole. Mr. Franklin did it. And then they begin this fight. And in comes Druan van der Merwe. And you have to fight for 7 minutes to make sure that you don't get off that pole. One of you is going to lose, right? And amongst all of it, you've got all these boys around you, right? So you've got all these boys. There's testosterone. There's pride. There is all these things where even the friends have got their own people that they want to support. And this fight starts. And it's not fisticuffs. It got fisticuffs. It's knock some teeth. You knock a nose. And all you have to do is use everything within your power not to get off that pole. And you can hold on to the pole. You can cling on to the pole. But I'm telling you now, when you fall into the water, it is over and you've lost all bragging rights. And there is an assumption that you are inferior to Druan van der Merwe, right? And if you guys have seen Victoria, you'll know that she's a determined girl and she gets it from somewhere. And I remember that because 7 minutes becomes very, very long. Mr. Franklin placed me on that pole. And Druan van der Merwe did everything in his power to get me off that pole. Right? I got an elbow in my eye. Right? I got pulled on my hair. My arms were raw from holding the pole like this. And you just hold it and then you try and get your legs back up. It is messy. I can't tell you, the short of it is that Druan lost. Right? And that whole story is not because I won, but I did it on my might. And I've had this story on my head, on my heart, this whole week. Because where I want to frame the battles that we find ourselves, that Paul is speaking over here, you need to know that the victory is already won. Right? We sometimes think that we are fighting these things and we're chasing these things and the battle is real and we've got to wake up and we've got to fight and we've got to hold on to the pole with all our might. And I'm here to tell you that if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, the victory is already won, right? The victory has already won over your life. And now what you do is you stand in the realm of victory. You stand in a space of victory. You get to stand on that pole, placed on there by God because of the price that was paid by His Son on that cross. Victory has been written over all your lives. So why do we battle? Why is it that we find ourselves putting up our hand and saying, man, it has been a tough week. Man, it has been a rough morning. Just getting here to church. Why do I fight with my wife? Why does PowerPoint not work on a Sunday morning? And the reality is that the demonic, the enemy wants to pull you out of that realm of victory. He wants to claw you away and put you in the river. He wants to use everything that can take you out of the space of victory that God has placed you in. So when we speak this morning, I need to tell you that this isn't about achieving victory. This is about standing firm in the victory that God has already won for you. If you go read the text, I highlighted it over there. It's just one after another. It speaks of stand and stand and withstand and stand because there is a message in that. You need to stand firm in the victory that has been written over your lives, right? And the enemy is going to try everything and anything to pull you away. And the reason why it's important that we start here is because if you don't understand that the victory has already won, then what you're going to do is you're going to start thinking it's about your might. It's about your power. It's about your effort. It's about your strategy, and it's about your control. And I'm telling you now that that's not what the text is saying. You don't have to be on that pole for 7 minutes. You don't have to have raw arms and have a bruised eye and maybe a knocked tooth or a bruised ego. It's not about your strength. It's not about your strategy, and it's not about your control. It's about doing everything you can to stand firm in the victory that has been declared over your life because of the blood of Jesus. All right. So before I move on, you need to settle that in your heart. You need to settle that today, that we need to set power or your power, your effort aside, and embrace the victory that is available to you. So, surprise, surprise, there's 3 points this morning. I'm going to start with my first point. First of all, you need to know that the battle is spiritual. We go back over here, and we speak over here, and it speaks about the be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The battle is spiritual. Now, that's also important because when you start to understand that it's spiritual, you start to see the things that may be working against you. You start to see, as I said, it can't be about your might. It can't be these things in reality, but you've got to start to understand that there are forces at play to do everything within their power to pull you out of that realm of victory, yeah. Right? And when we ask ourselves to stand firm, you need to know that there is effort upon effort upon effort from every spiritual and dark and cosmic force that may be there to pull you away. You cannot do it by yourself. When you start to shift your focus, you start to see that this cannot be done in my power. It cannot be done by your control or your strategy. We spoke about that. And when you start to see that this is a spiritual battle, now all of a sudden you can start having a spiritual plan. A spiritual plan on how you're going to stand firm in and amongst a spiritual battle. We speak about these things of, you know, you can't bring a knife to a gunfight. Well, the reality is you can't bring physical weapons to spiritual warfare. If you're going to be involved in spiritual warfare, you need to know that you need a spiritual plan and you need to embrace spiritual weapons. And if you don't, I'm telling you now, you're going to fall short. Because what the world wants us to say is that I can do this. The world's going to tell you that I can start figuring this out. Because when you look at a spiritual battle that you may be wrestling, if you start to think that I can do this on my own power, you start to think, how is it that I can control? How many of you this morning are trying to control the outcome of something that may be spiritual? And I'm here to tell you that just like you can't bring that knife to a gunfight, you can't bring your physical abilities to the spiritual warfare that you're facing. And I want to caution you and not go too much into the summer series that we've got planned. But at the same time, we also can't be in a position where we over-spiritualize things. Not everything is a spiritual battle, okay? Sometimes there are things that we do in life where we need to mature. Not everything is spiritual, but everything has spiritual ramifications. When we find ourselves in a position of pressure or in a position of stress, we lash out in anger, spiritual ramification. When we find ourselves exposed with fear and we cry out, spiritual ramification. Not everything is spiritual, but everything has spiritual implications. And we need to know that there are things in our life that we may be facing and we can say, oh man, this is demonic. Well, no, maybe I need to treat my wife better. Maybe I need to, you know, I find myself in a financial pinch. It's demonic. Well, no, maybe you need to plan your finances better. Yeah. And I'm not saying that God can't use finance, or the enemy can't use finances or the lack thereof to bring about spiritual warfare. But I want to be very careful this morning that we don't just roll everything into it's demonic or it's a spiritual attack. Because there are things where we need to mature in how we live out our life. And when we start maturing in how we're living out our life, there is wisdom, there is discernment that can preempt some of these things that ultimately would have spiritual ramifications. But the point that I want to share with you this morning is that you need to know the battlefield. You find yourself over here and you need to know that there are forces at play. In the beginning of Ephesians series, I said to you that we are part of a cosmic plan. We are part of a plan that is bigger than ourselves. So why is it a surprise when they speak about the enemy saying that there is cosmic authority that is at work trying to pull us away from this position of victory? The battlefield is real. The battlefield is brutal. You can't stand over there using your own strength and strategy with your little knife, when you really have to be bringing something far superior. Finding yourself in that is something, having an understanding of where you're at is something so important to realize how you have the ability to stand firm. Yeah. My second point is that the armor is intentional. There are so many things that are intentionally written in that series of the armor of God. Understand that when Paul wrote this, his reference was a Roman soldier. So if you ever wanted to have a look at a Roman soldier and what their armor looked like, it gives you a great representation of how intentional Paul was when he spoke about the various pieces of armor that you are able to place on. We go over here to it's 14. There we go. Sorry. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on. It's an action word. It's an action word, right? This is not something that's just given to us where God comes and he just places the armor on. There is something Paul's encouraging us to say. You need to take action and put it on. How many of you daily are putting on your armor? Taking the active step and stepping into the armor that is available. It is an action word. You cannot look past that word of put on. Putting on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, all circumstances, the shield of faith to extinguish the arrows, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word. There are so many things intentionally designed in the order in which you put that on, and why you put that armor on. The first thing is, speaks about the belt of truth. The belt of truth is central to everything we do. In Roman armor, that belt of truth held everything together. Basically, you put that on and everything connected through that belt of truth. You lose that belt of truth, everything falls off. We start off with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is living in God's reality and God's view and God's way of doing things. That is what holds everything together. And if you don't have that, what you've got is opinion. And when you've got opinion and you've got feeling, all of a sudden you start to live in a reality that is very distorted from God's reality. You start to question identity. You start to question, is this right or is this wrong? It's God's truth, God's reality that holds everything together. And you need to place that reality onto you to in fact hold all the other pieces together. If you don't have truth, everything else falls away. The second one is this breastplate of righteousness. We're told that we can't rely on our heart It's deceitful. But when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, we are gifted the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God flows through our heart. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is what you do even when it's hard. Righteousness is holy living. If we look at God, He's all justice. He's all holy. He's all faithful. All things that God does are pure and right. And when we have that breastplate of righteousness on us, we protect our vital organs, most importantly our heart, from all the things that may lead to compromise. What is compromise? Compromise, the easiest way I can describe that is integrity. Integrity in doing those things that are needed to be done even when it is most difficult. We can't do it on our own. We cannot do it in our own power. You need to understand that if you try and be righteous, you become self-righteous, and that's a problem. You have to place God's righteousness over your vital organs that will protect your heart and allow His righteousness, His holiness, His faithfulness, His justice to flow through your heart. And when you have that, I'm telling you, you'll walk with a spiritual integrity. That even when the enemy's trying to pull you away from this position of victory, you will still stand and be able to be righteous. And you won't compromise. You will not compromise despite the circumstance. And I can tell you, I'll put my hand up. There are times in my life where I've faced battles, and I can tell you with sincere sadness that I've compromised. I've compromised with what was not God's plan. And it stemmed from a position of fear. It stemmed from a position of this battle of trying to pull me out of that position of victory. And how do you think I felt when I had this recognition? I had a realization that I compromised. And all of a sudden, you start disqualifying yourself from this position where God wants you rightfully to stand. Put that breastplate on. It protects your vital organs, but most important, your heart. And you want righteous living flowing through your heart. So we start off with the belt. We go to the breastplate, because the breastplate is going to guide how we live. Our heart's going to guide how we live, but it's God's righteousness. And now what we need to do is we need to equip ourselves that we can walk confidently. Roman times, if you think of those Roman soldiers, it would have been sandy ground. It would have been rocky ground. In South Africa, more so Sarol than Russell and I, but in school in South Africa for Afrikaans community, they would go to school from grade 1 all the way to grade 7, where they wouldn't wear shoes. They just walk around there. You'd call them kwesies. Anyway, we were a bit more civilized. We wore our shoes, our Bata Tuffies, and we polished them every morning. But that being said, most of us in South Africa have this culture of walking around barefoot. Right? You'd see people walking in the shops, and the kids would be walking barefoot, the dads would be walking barefoot, sometimes the moms would be walking barefoot too. It's crazy. But the thing is, I had a friend in Home Depot here from South Africa that was kicked out because his kid was walking with bare feet. They don't take it kindly of it, so don't allow your child to do that. It's a safety hazard. The fact is that when you're walking on rocky ground, if your feet are soft, you can't walk confidently. You can't walk with an authority and a confidence when you are tiptoeing around these various stones and arid ground. You need something that's going to protect your souls, that you can walk with confidence, and where needed, you can run with confidence. And if you look at the picture of the Roman sandals, they actually had little grips as well, so you wouldn't lose your footing when you are in a battle. And that's why the analogy of connecting peace to the sandal is so beautiful. Because no matter where you find yourself, you need to be able to walk with peace. Not just any peace, but peace that is afforded to you by Jesus. John 14, 27 says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do not be troubled. Can you imagine walking in a position where you are troubled? If you don't have that, you walk restless. You walk with fear. You walk troubled. And God doesn't want you to walk troubled. When you are pushing off the demonic in this realm of victory, you need to have a firm grip to push away. And you need to have a firm grip so you don't slide back. Well, you can stand in peace, not as the world gives, but only as Jesus gives. And that's available when we strap those shoes on and we stand there with peace. And when we don't have peace, we have restlessness. And when we have restlessness, it is a battle. We start to slide. God wants us to stand firm, stand strong in the victory that He's placed us. And that's available when you put on those sandals of peace. And then He comes on and He speaks about the shield of faith. Belt of truth, righteous living. Now we can stand in peace. But you need to understand that there are arrows coming ever which way. There are those flaming darts that are there to take you out. And you're standing in this place of peace. And as you stand there, every single day you need to know there's going to be a dart that's going to come. There's a dart that's going to just try and remove you from this realm of victory that God has placed you in. And the only way that you can stand there and protect yourself is if you have a shield. And not just any shield, but a shield of faith. A shield of faith that notwithstanding the circumstance, you need to know that God is with you. God is with you. And the one thing about a shield is that you can stand there and you can guard against. So you can stand and you can try and push away the darts. But I believe that God wants us to take ground too. God doesn't just want us to have the small realm of victory. He wants to expand our realm of victory. And He wants us to expand the realm of victory also by pulling other people in. And the only way we can do that is by advancing forward. And the only way you can do that with confidence is with a firm shield of faith walking forward. How many of you are walking forward this morning with that shield of faith? Pick it up. Pick it up. And I'm telling you, you'll walk with the confidence and you won't be afraid. How many of you are facing a circumstance that is a battle with that whisper of fear of just saying, where is God? Where is God? You can silence that dart with a shield of faith and say, my God is with me. And I will take this next step of ground in peace, in righteous living, knowing that it's firmly held together by God's truth. And then it comes to this helmet of salvation. A metal helmet that goes to the back of the ear, protect the back of the neck, cover the ears, and firmly placed on your head. You take an arrow in your head, you've got some problems. It's not just a concussion, there's some big problems there. You put a helmet on and it protects your head. It protects how you think. Guys, when we speak about a spiritual battle, you need to know that a large part of that spiritual battle happens between your two ears. How many of you doubt the love of the Father that He has for you? How many of you stand in this position of victory and say, I don't deserve this? How many of you stand there as you're facing battle after battle, even picking up your shield of faith and saying, man, does God even love me? The circumstance has gone on for years, decades. My whole life, where is God? I've given my life to Him. And yet, I still feel afraid or I doubt the love of the Father. But I want to take you back. I hope most of you remember the day that you gave your life to the Lord. You guys remember that moment where you gave your life wholeheartedly to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you could step into the posture of being saved. And there was a weight that was off your shoulders because there was a price that was paid. That is salvation. And you need to be reminded of that when the battle happens between your two ears. The enemy is going to speak lies. He's going to speak to your identity. He's going to speak to your everything. But most important, he's just going to start with that common goal of making you doubt. It's as old as Adam and Eve is, did God say? Did God say? And you can say, enough. Because God did say, and it has been paid, and I am saved. And that saved, that posture of salvation goes over my mind that I will not doubt. That I can be bold, notwithstanding the circumstance. And then they speak of picking up the sword of the Spirit that is the Word. The Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, sharper than a double-edged sword. When we find ourselves in this position of victory, you need to understand that there is noise. I got this picture of being in a jungle where there's just those vines that come across and just limit your ability to advance forward. And you can't see. It's just thick, thick vines. What do you need? You need something to cut through the noise. You need something to discern. You need something to weigh, is this right, is this wrong? And you're given something and you need to wield it. You need to wield that sharp sword that can give you the ability to discern between grace and truth, truth and a lie. Those are the things that give you the clarity, but what you need to do is you need to boldly wield it. How many of you are wielding that double-edged sword in your life to cut out the noise? It's heavy stuff. It's like a kind of like the good news is you're saved, the bad news is the battle's heavy. But the better news is that the battle is won. The battle is won. And all God's asking you to do is stand firm. And that leads me into my last point, that the strategy is prayer. Not just any prayer, but a prayer in the Spirit. I want to tell you today that if prayer is talking to God, praying in the Spirit is walking with God. When you are in a battle, do you want to fight it alone? Do you want to fight it with an army? Or do you want to fight it with the God that is able to take down Goliath? And I'm telling you now, the God that gave the power through that stone, through David, to take down Goliath is the same God that is fighting the giants in your life. And we can talk a prayer, but what Paul is saying is that you need to pray in the Spirit. You need a spiritual prayer. So what does that mean? What do I mean when I'm saying you need to pray in the Spirit? What does that look like? How many of you pray and say, dear Jesus, help me make my mortgage at the end of the month? Dear Jesus, help me put food on the table. Dear Jesus, help me through the circumstance at work. It's not bad prayers, I'm just telling you. You can pray those. I'm not saying you shouldn't. What I am saying is that when you pray in the Spirit, maybe you need to stop talking and start listening. Maybe you need to just be still and allow the Spirit to work. Maybe you need to say, God, what is it that you are saying? God, where is it? Give me a strategic advantage through the circumstance. How many of you are being still and listening to God? How many of you are waiting on God in prayer? So maybe it's not just a prayer to say, I've done my morning prayers. Maybe you need to be sitting there and waiting, saying, God, I'm going to hold on until you give me something because I cannot do this myself. The strategy is prayer. And that's the secret to everything. You can be armored, but how are you going to fight? And the way you fight is you fight with prayer. When we find ourselves in a reality where we don't recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. If we find ourselves where we say this is not spiritual, what you start to do is you start to fight people. You start to blame systems and government, and you start to attack circumstance. And all God is saying to you this morning is that you need to be praying into those circumstances. You need to be praying into those systems, and you need to be praying into those relationships with people. And that's not saying that you're a doormat. What that's saying is that, God, I'm not going to move forward, and I'm not going to pick up the stone, and I'm not going to do anything unless you direct me. Unless you put me in that place, because I will rely on you for the answer, because you are with me walking in this battle. And when you understand that the Father who loves you, the same Father that was with David that took down Goliath, is the same Father that is with you and take down your giants, you can walk with a whole new confidence. A whole new confidence. Where do you sit in your battles this morning? I want to tell you that maybe you need a different strategy. Maybe you need to lay down your might and your power and your plan and your control and start to apply a different strategy. And it starts not with your effort, but by praying in the Spirit. Allow God to speak. It is amazing that when you stand still and just listen, a word can come. And I'm not saying that you necessarily even have a prophetic gift in, but the Spirit moves and the Spirit will speak. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I can't believe it. I was given this. I need to be still and know that God is God. I need to know. This is prophetic. You spend some time in the Word, in amongst your battle, and you'd be amazed how God speaks. It'd be amazing how the strategic plan is not something that's done in an Oval Office somewhere in Washington, D.C., but something that's done in your room in the morning when you're reading your Bible. Over your circumstance, over your family's circumstance, over your finances, over your kids, over what's happening in a government, over what's happening in your communities, over what's happening in the workplace. You have a winning strategy, and I'm telling you that winning strategy is prayer in the Spirit. So I'm gonna finish up here, and I'm going to ask the band to come up. How many of you are fighting this morning? How many of you find yourself fighting in a battle? With the active word of me asking, how many of you are fighting and you're tired? You're like, Lord, I don't know how much more I can do. I don't know how much more I can continue in this battle. And I want to tell you this morning that the battle is already won. The victory, the place where you stand, is already won, and you've been placed there, not because you deserve it, but because you're loved. You're loved by a Father who cares for you, cares for your circumstance, and all that goes with it. And my encouragement to you this morning is that you would stand firm in the Father's victory, but not just stop there, you embrace His strength. How many of you are embracing the strength of the Father in your circumstance? The strength that only He can offer. His truth, His righteousness that flows through your heart, the peace that gives you the ability to walk with confidence, a shield of faith, knowing that He will not forsake you and that He loves you, a helmet of salvation that protects the battlefield between your two ears, that you don't have to doubt, but you can operate in that framework of confidence. And His mighty word that gives you the ability to discern. His mighty word that gives you more than what you need to stand firm within the battle that you're facing today. So I'm going to ask you to stand up with me. Russell's going to close out for us, but I'm going to ask you this morning, I want you to be bold. I want you to be bold that if you put up your hand for whatever battle, maybe this morning you need to hear the words that the victory has been won over your life. Maybe this morning you need to stop working out of your own efforts, your own control, and your own strategy, because you realize that you are working against cosmic forces, a spiritual battle that is trying to move you from the position of victory that God has placed you in. Maybe this morning you need to step in to the armor that has been given to you. Or maybe you just need to stand here and pray in the Spirit. But I'm telling you now that I don't want you leaving here this morning if you're facing a battle without embracing the weapons of the Spirit. Put down your knife and step into the real world with real weapons that'll help you stand firm in the place where God has rightly placed you. Not because you deserve it, but because He loves you so much.